Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, with the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon, if you need a playbook, Noble Gold says allocate gold now. And avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. When fear reigns, gold protects. And right now, get a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin when you open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments today. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, everybody. The fight for free speech is on. CEO of Rumble, RUMBLE.com, joins us to talk about how his company is under attack from every possible direction. It's what the left does. They attack, they attack, they attack. Rumble is really important, so check it out. And then John Solomon joins us for the latest on the Biden crime family. And is it true that some people in Israel or elsewhere traded on the Israeli market knowing that there was an attack looming? This is a pretty interesting story. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast, open up your podcast application, and type in Charlie Kirk Show. That is Charlie Kirk Show. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. And attend America Fest. That's amfest.com, AMFEST.com, amfest.com. Get your tickets right now. Tucker Carlson, Patrick Bet-David, Candace Owens, Glenn Beck, Rob Schneider, Roseanne Barr, Dennis Prager, Ali B. Stuckey, Tim Pool, James O'Keefe, Jonathan Isaac, Riley Gaines, Ben Carson, Michael Anton, Jason Whitlock, Steve Bannon, Vivek Ramaswamy, amfest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. One of the most important websites and apps on the planet is Rumble, RUMBLE.com. We partner with Rumble on a lot of different stuff. Our Thought Crime show, which is doing very, very well. It is the bastion for free speech to be able to counter YouTube and create a place for content. We're streaming right now on Rumble. In fact, let me see. We have 7.6 thousand people watching right now on Rumble. RUMBLE.com and download the Rumble app. Joining us now is the CEO of Rumble, Chris Pavlovsky. Chris, good to see you. So many stories to cover with you, but first, tell us the backstory of how Rumble started.
Charlie, thanks for having me on. So I've been in the space for over two decades, and it was around like 2010 that I started to see the incumbent platforms, YouTube in particular, they started to prioritize like big creators, corporations, brands, and they really started deprioritizing like the friends and family, aunts and uncles, basically the everyday person that uses the platform. So by 2013, I jumped in and started Rumble, and it was started on the premise of helping the small creators, treating them fairly, equally like any other creator, regardless of size. So we focused on the small creators to bring them the tools of distribution and monetization that they weren't getting on those incumbent platforms. Fast forward to 2020, you know, the end of 2020, I get a call from the ranking member of the U.S. House Intel Committee, Devin Nunes, Congressman Nunes. And, you know, being Canadian, I thought I was going to be under some kind of investigation or something. He had a simple question, and he asked, Chris, if I bring my podcast to Rumble and I search for my name, am I going to find it? And I was like, yeah, for sure. So he ends up bringing it on to Rumble because he said it was not happening on all the other platforms. Call it censorship, call it shadow banning, call it whatever you want to call it. Yeah, people could not find an elected member of Congress's content on YouTube. So he comes to Rumble, and within 2 to 3 months, he has 200,000 to 300,000 subscribers on Rumble. Whereas on YouTube, he only had about 10,000 after 4 years of promoting that in his district. So from there, everything kind of took off Rumble became the bastion for freedom of expression over the last couple of years. We're the company that didn't move the goalposts during COVID, didn't move the goalposts during the election season. We stayed true to our policies and true to our beliefs and spirit of our policies over the last 10 years, last decade. And while all the other incumbent platforms decided to pick a side and move to a specific side and leaving Rumble all alone in the center. So that's where we are now. And that's what happened.
Yeah. And some of the best names and faces stream live on Rumble daily. We're honored to do it multiple times, sometimes multiple times a day. Russell Brand right now has 20,000 people. I'm just looking at it right now on rumble.com. So one of the things that you guys have embraced, Chris, is defending yourself with Lawfare and really playing offense. Talk about your Google lawsuit. You're heavily in discovery of this. And then I want to get to the Check My Ads lawsuit.
Yeah. So we, I think it was a couple days after January 6th, we launched the lawsuit in 2021, the 10th or 11th of January. And that lawsuit against Google was for antitrust, preferencing in their search engine, preferencing on their Android apps. And we felt that they were, you know, obviously being anti-competitive, and we launched the lawsuit. So Google tried to dismiss our lawsuit. They made motions to dismiss back in last year. And by the summer of last year, the judge, an Obama-appointed judge, denied all their motions to dismiss. And now we're in full-fledged we're in full-fledged discovery with Google. I think it's one of the most important efforts on the front of antitrust that there is out there. And we're the tip of the spear of that. We, you know, we are alleging that they're preferencing YouTube in their search, and Android devices. So this is could be, you know, depending on how things go, I hopefully this makes them, you know, we can push back here and push hard and make the market more fair.
Talk about the kind of explosion of users you guys have seen. And there has been a lot of different attacks at Rumble when you guys de-SPAC'd. I mean, all sorts of different stuff that has been thrown at you. And by the way, Chris, a day does not go by when I don't see another news outlet trying to take out Rumble. And, you know, Rumble grows stronger and stronger and stronger. How many users are you guys at now? And it's increasing month over month.
Yeah, so we're a publicly traded company. So all this data is publicly available to everyone. Our ticker is RUM. We reported in the last quarter 58 million monthly active users and 40 million in US and Canada. That's not a small number by any means. That's a very significant number in the United States. In comparison, YouTube has roughly 200 million active users, give or take, in the United States. So, you know, our number is pretty large in comparison. It kind of gives you a perspective. If you look at Twitter, last time Twitter reported, they reported roughly 68 million monthly active users in the United States. They have much more globally, but it kind of puts in perspective this scale that we do have. So since then, though, we've been under like relentless attack since our growth in 2020 for obvious different reasons, platforming ideas and opinions that people don't like. It's been relentless. We have the media organizations writing about us all the time in every negative way possible. And recently, like people are probably familiar with Media Matters and what they did to Elon, but the same playbook happens to Rumble, and it's been happening to Rumble by Media Matters for a very long time. Like, they wrote an article about us. Pretty much they write an article every week, it seems. But there was one in particular earlier in the year where they took screenshots of Netflix being on videos that violated our policy. But the key part of this is that video, the majority of those videos that were in that article, where they got the screenshot of Netflix being on there, they weren't watched by anybody in the week prior, meaning zero people saw that video and saw that ad on that video in the week prior. It wasn't until the day that they wrote the story that they had an account that they logged in on and they refreshed multiple times to get that ad to appear, that they were able to create the story and create the perception that, you know, Rumble has all this content that's bad and advertisers should be wary of it. The truth is that's not true at all. You know, our most popular shows like yours are the ones that are on Rumble that are getting a ton of viewers, but they're not talking about that.
Chris, talk how Rumble has invested in its own infrastructure after January 6th, after we saw the targeted cancellation of Parler and others. Rumble has made preemptive moves to prevent that.
Yeah, it's existential that we do. After what happened with the Parler, it was existential that we built our own infrastructure through bare metal in data centers across the United States. We cannot rely on the incumbent platforms like Amazon, Google Cloud, or Microsoft. We need to be reliant on our own infrastructure so no one can turn us off. And that's what we did. We built our own infrastructure. We now launched the Rumble Cloud into beta. So not only are we going to support just Rumble, we're looking to support all businesses that have the same values as us going forward in 2024. The cloud is now in beta, and we're already onboarding clients onto the cloud as we speak right now. So this is a big effort for us. And obviously, if this does well, this will help really push back against all the censorship that's happening out there.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. I think the world of Patriot Mobile. They are amazing people. Glenn and the whole team. We have dinner frequently. I've gotten to know them. They're incredible. And I'm so proud to partner with them. They are donors to Turning Point USA. They are the best. You see, Patriot Mobile, they offer dependable nationwide coverage, giving you ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage that you're accustomed to without funding the left. So look, you got to make the switch today. And when you do that, when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you send a clear, convincing, and resounding message that you support freedom of speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team can make switching very easy. So you keep your number, you keep your phone, or you upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Glenn and the team there will be more than happy to help you. Just tell them Charlie Kirk sent you. They're amazing, super great to work with, very generous supporters of Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action. They are mission-aligned. Have your cell phone bill work for the country. Make your cell phone bill work for America. Join me and make the switch today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Full endorsement, patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Rumble is one of the most important things happening in this space. Chris Pavlovsky continues with us. Chris, I just want to encourage you and compliment you. After January 6th, we saw our YouTube slammed. No exaggeration, Chris. Pre-January 6th, we were getting 130,000 concurrents at the top. That's a lot. That's one of the biggest streams on all of YouTube. And then after January 6th, we'd be lucky to get 1,000 or 2,000. Shadow banning. By the way, we're at war with YouTube right now over a separate issue. It's unbelievable. They're accusing us of hate speech and a strike. It's just sick. At Rumble, there's no such thing. Rumble is a safe haven of speech, of dissident ideas. Russell Brand is there. Steven Crowder is there, and a growing roster of other people, Glenn Greenwald. But there's this woman, Nandini Jammy. Her full-time job is to destroy things. Tell us about Check My Ads.
Yeah, so I didn't know who they were at first, but a couple of years ago, they came up on my radar. And what they were doing was one of them was behind the Sleeping Giants that kind of demonetized in a big way Breitbart. So I wasn't really too familiar with them until more recently, but, in specific, what they did, which, we're not going to tolerate as a company, is that they started to go out there and started to lie to the public. They started to say that, Rumble is dependent on Google Ads for our revenue. And then we sent them out a correction to say, hey, that's not true. We're public, in our filing. You can take a look at the SEC filing. And pointed out to them that we're not reliant on Google Ads, but they continued to say it. They went as far as saying again that we were 90% reliant on Google Ads, we just said, hey, we're not gonna sit back and let people lie about us and defame us and hurt our business. we're gonna fight back, and we're just not gonna take it anymore. So instead of being like on defense all the time, we decided to go on offense. It's kind of been one of our strategies since day one with Google. We went on offense with Google. I think the best defense is always offense. And like Elon Musk just recently did, and by suing Media Matters, we recently sued Check My Ads.
And so this loss, what are you alleging in the lawsuit? A torturous business interference or conspiracy? What are you alleging?
Yeah, at this point, like, you know, that's probably a better conversation to have with our attorneys. But generally speaking, they went out and said that we were reliant on Google Ads, which is completely not true. In fact, in the filing, you'll notice that in a recent month, they represented less than 1% of our revenue. So saying that we're largely monetized by Google, or we're reliant on Google, when they represented less than 1%, is just a complete lie. And we're suing them for that.
No, I love it, Chris. And so just kind of repeat here as we close, Rumble is under attack from every direction, but some of the most important voices find a daily home at Rumble. The app is great. Everyone should download it, the Rumble app. We also do our Thought Crime every Thursday night, which is really growing, and we really love it. But people must understand that the fight for speech in the West is on a very fragile spot, and Rumble is shouldering a disproportionate burden. Final thoughts, Chris.
No, that's exactly true. We're the tip of the spear when it comes to freedom of expression. We're the only company at scale that is telling governments to go pound sand when they come here to try to demonetize our creators. We're not a Chinese company. We're not a French company. We're an American company, and we're going to follow American law. Recently, that France came to us to try to remove creators from our platform. And we decided, hey, we're going to just turn France off. We're not going to be this global company that's going to listen to countries like China and France, for that matter. And we're going to stand up for the values that we all believe in. And we're not going to move the goalposts like these other platforms do. We're going to finally have a platform that has the values, American values, and we're going to push for that.
Chris, I'm 100% behind you. I've got to know you really well. You're a believer in Western values. It's not a political thing. It's about free speech. Let the best ideas win. And we are cheering and we are pulling for Rumble. A lot of people have tried to take Rumble out. You and I both know what we're talking about in a lot of different ways, but it's stronger than ever. The tech is getting better. The voices are there. You got Russell Brand, Glenn Greenwald. We need a legit YouTube competitor. And the growth curve of Rumble is better than even Facebook or Instagram. And I'm just saying, the next 12 months, if I was a betting man, I think your users are going to go up going into an election year. Just saying. Chris, God bless you, man. We're behind you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
Are you prepared for the unthinkable ahead? Charlie Kirk here. We all need to pray for the best, but prepare for the worst. That means stockpiling emergency food before it's too late. Right now, go purchase a 3-month emergency food kit from MyPatriotSupply.com, the nation's leader in self-reliance. Order yours today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Each family member needs their own kit when disaster strikes. These 3-month kits from MyPatriotSupply.com give an abundance of delicious meals, providing over 2,000 calories a day. You'll have plenty to eat when everyone else is scavenging empty store shelves. Stock up now, because you won't get a warning when disaster hits. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. That's right, 9 meals away from anarchy. Order by 3 o'clock today, and your order ships the same day for free. The unthinkable can happen at a moment's notice. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Joining us now is John Solomon, one of the most effective and important journalists in the country. John, always love having you on. Thank you. John, we covered this story.
Yeah, good to be with him.
We covered the story briefly. Your reporting is largely to credit for the momentum behind a lot of this with Comer. So great job. I want to encourage you and compliment you on that. But just start from, you know, not necessarily square one. That would take 5.5 hours of all the corruption. But, you know, this is, catch our audience up to speed, because this has not received mainstream media coverage. What did the last 24 hours show us with James Comer?
Well, once again, that Joe Biden lied his way into office. Remember what he told us in 2019, looked in the camera, told everybody, you can vote for me because I had nothing to do with my son's business empire. I never benefited from it. I never met with his colleagues. I never did anything to benefit my son. It's all a conspiracy theory. And now every one of those things he denied has come true. This is the most recent one. We now have a direct payment from a Hunter Biden account that got a bunch of China money. A $5 million China loan comes through. It goes into one account, goes into another account. Eventually, Hunter Biden is paying his father back from that account, allegedly for a truck that he got that he couldn't afford. So his father paid for a few months of the bill, and then Hunter Biden pays him back. Now, what's very important about this is the way it's been cast by Team Biden in the last 24 hours since James Comer made these bank records available, direct payment, Hunter Biden to Joe Biden, is that they're saying, well, Hunter Biden had a personal truck. He couldn't afford it. Dad, like good dads do, they pay for it. There's one problem with that current explanation, which is Hunter Biden did not pay his father from a personal account. He paid him from a corporate account, a Wasco, which is the corporate account for Hunter Biden's law firm, which means there could be tax consequences to this money moving out of a Wasco for a something that appears to be a personal truck. So a lot of people are looking at that today as saying, hey, that could be some downstream liability for Joe Biden, a guy who's always talking about making rich people pay their fair share. Does he have a tax problem now with his son? We know his son already has tax problems. That's why the feds have been looking at him for 5 years. But I think that's the latest twist. But at the highest level, this proves that Joe Biden looked into the camera, assured Americans people that he didn't get anything from his son's company. It simply wasn't true. And it would have been easy for him in 30 seconds to know what he was saying wasn't true. He just simply didn't tell the American people the truth.
So what does this mean? I mean, some people are suggesting the Department of Justice should actively investigate him. Now, with their going after Donald Trump and indicting him, that precedent is waived. I know that he controls Merrick Garland. But based on your reporting, if this was just subject A with this fact pattern, would this warrant a federal criminal investigation?
Most likely, because remember, we have an earlier circumstance where Joe Biden has money coming back from a family member and it comes out, it goes out one account and comes in a different one. Again, could be money laundering, could be taxes. We don't know until we get more detail. But remember, when the same China money comes in, James Biden spends $40,000 paying Joe Biden back for an alleged loan in 2017. But when Joe Biden gave the money to his brother, it went out of a legal account, a corporate legal account. But then it comes back into Joe Biden's personal account. A lot of the experts we've talked to say, hey, that's another potential tax issue. So now you have two instances where Joe Biden looks like money's coming in and it implicates tax laws. Now, we need more detail, but I do think it gives a lot of rise to, if it was a normal citizen, would the IRS and the FBI looking at this? Probably. What it does do for House Republicans is it furthers their momentum towards getting an impeachment inquiry vote next week and then beginning to enforce subpoenas and make a decision in early next year whether they're going to bring articles of impeachment against the president. And one of the things that I think I want to point, one little thing that happened in the last 24 hours that may speak volumes, it may be much bigger than the few words that were uttered. John Cornyn, long been against House Republicans in their impeachment effort, yesterday said, you know what? I support this idea for having a formal House impeachment inquiry vote. That's a big change from people who've been resistant to even looking or saying the words impeachment. It probably tells you that the piling up of this evidence is beginning to show even reluctant senators there is a very good case and that Joe Biden was engaged in some form of wrongdoing, including lying to the American people.
Yeah. And so if this was all above board, why did Biden lie about it for so long?
Yeah. Great question, right? Because it wasn't above board. Well, listen, it's because it wasn't above board. It was influence peddling. The family was selling the name to the highest bidder in foreign governments and foreign entities. And those people would send money to Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden would try to make it look like a loan instead of income. So it didn't look like lobbying income. And then he was divvying it up to the family. And Joe Biden, at least now we know, got some of the hops of the money. Some of the money hops several times. It ends up in his account, about $46,000 that we know of so far. And there's a lot more bank records to go through. But yeah, it was untoward and it would have been an influence peddling scandal at the time. He was able to convince everybody. My reporting in 19, when I first focused on this, was a conspiracy theory. But all of our conspiracy theories have come true now. And Joe Biden is the one facing some very serious questions as he heads into reelection.
So the talk about the politics of impeachment. What are you hearing from the speaker's office, the votes, and how you think this should proceed?
So keep in mind that this is not voting on a set of articles of impeachment. It is simply voting to formalize the inquiry that Kevin McCarthy started informally last year. Kevin McCarthy wasn't willing to have a vote on the floor to fully empower the impeachment inquiry. He just said started, and they did. And James Comer, Jim Jordan, and Chairman Smith of Ways and Means have done a good job getting evidence out. But if you got to go to court, which seems to be around the corner, because I don't think Hunter Biden showing up for his deposition on December 13th, I don't think Kevin Morris is going to be as forthcoming about the $5.3 million in loans he gave Hunter Biden. They're going to have to go to in court and enforce these subpoenas and ask a court to overrule a reluctant witness. That often requires a vote of Congress to do that. So Mike Johnson is getting his ducks in a row to give the House impeachment managers, the House impeachment investigators, the best chance to prevail in the courts, because everything we know right now is, you know, great, but we probably only know a third of the Biden family scandal. There's so many things that people have been withholding and rope-a-doping on. Going to court could force out the next wave of information that could maybe ultimately create enough public support for impeachment articles. So this step to, is formalizing what Kevin McCarthy did, but in the court of law, it's going to increase the weight that congressional investigators will have when they try to go up against a Hunter Biden or Kevin Morris or some other reluctant witness who doesn't want to testify or give up all the information.
Yeah, it is. So what do you think on timeline then? If this all unfolds together, when do you think this could potentially result in an impeachment?
Well, I think the impeachment vote to approve the formally approve the impeachment inquiry is going to be set for next week, according to Speaker Johnson. I think the Hunter Biden, James Biden, Kevin Morris interviews have to occur or go to court. I think you're looking at somewhere between January and March when Comer and Jordan will make a decision. Speaker Johnson, we should proceed with articles of impeachment, or we're going to keep investigating, but let the American people decide in the election. Either way, the American people are going to know that Joe Biden lied to them, that he got into office in 2020 under the falsest of pretenses, that he did have an influence peddling operation in his family. He was the beneficiary of it sometimes. That is going to weigh heavily on the 2024 electorate, who's already unhappy with Joe Biden's economic and foreign policy decisions. So either way, the American people are way smarter, way more informed, I should say, than they were in 2020 when they were told the Hunter Biden laptop is Russian disinformation and John Solomon's reporting is a conspiracy theory. Those things have reversed. Impeachment or no impeachment proceedings in the House, Americans have a lot more information to judge Joe Biden's conduct, and they now know they were lied to, which often sometimes creates an angrier electorate. I still think there's a strong possibility that they will get to impeachment articles, but I think a little bit more evidence needs to fall into place. But the fact that a guy like Senator Cornyn is now saying, you know, an impeachment inquiry seems okay with me, I like that idea, that's a big change for him. It means that they're starting to change reluctant hearts and minds, which is an important process of impeachment. You got to get the public behind you when you impeach a president.
Yeah, it. We're seeing now some other movements on Capitol Hill. Do you think there's any impeachment to go after Mayorkas, which there was a previous attempt and it failed? Do you think there's any kind of new momentum there?
There is. If Marjorie Taylor Greene, who I just had on my podcast just a little bit ago, said, listen, I have a deal with Chairman Greene, the head of the House Homeland Security Committee, and Speaker Johnson, they're going to allow a full impeachment inquiry to begin against Mayorkas. It'll come out of committee, then it will go to the floor. She expects both of those to happen before Christmas. So you could have two impeachment inquiries going on, one against a Homeland Security Secretary who has not enforced the law and allowed all this travesty of fentanyl and illegal aliens and the crisis in New York and the crisis in Texas to occur because he just isn't enforcing the law. And then Joe Biden for an influence peddling scandal that, you know, may rival anything we've ever seen in political history in America. I mean, the level of money and the level of audaciousness of how they shook foreign powers down is unlike anything I've seen in my time, even bigger than the Clinton White House Asia fundraising scandal of the 90s. So those two things could start off the election season for Joe Biden. I wouldn't want to be Joe Biden running for president with those two clouds hanging over your head.
John Solomon, just tell our audience, remind our audience about your show every evening, also on Real America's Voice. Remind them you're doing great work.
Thank you. Yeah, Just the News, No Noise with Amanda Head and I, 6 o'clock right on Real America's Voice. We love doing the show. A lot of fun.
John, thanks so much. You're welcome anytime. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. It's a really troubling news story here. Israel investigates possible trading knowledge ahead of October 7th Hamas attack. Israeli authorities are investigating claims by U.S. researchers that some investors may have known in advance of a Hamas plan to attack Israel on October 7th and use that information to profit from Israeli securities. Research from law professors Robert Jackson Jr., an NYU professor from NYU, and Joshua Mitz of Columbia University found significant short selling of shares leading up to the attacks, which triggered a war that is now 2 months old. Quote, days before the attack, traders appeared to anticipate the events to come. Suddenly and significantly, short selling spiked on October 2nd, based on data from the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA. And just before the attack, short selling of Israeli securities on the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange increased dramatically, they wrote in their 66-page report. Now, this is currently being investigated, and this is a pattern. Right before 9/11, American stocks were shorted as well. It seems as if this is a pattern, that before there is a cataclysmic Pearl Harbor 9/11-style event, that some people look to make a buck on short selling based on information that they receive. Now, we don't know who did the short selling. It's probably Arab-connected, Iranian-connected, Hamas-connected type traders, but we don't know. This is on the Israeli Stock Exchange, and it's very strange, honestly, one part of this, where they say they can't find out who did it. Quote, short volume peaked on April 3rd at the similar levels to those observed on October 7th, and it was far higher by an order of magnitude any time prior to April 3rd. This is what they say here. They say that it is shocking and breathtaking the amount of short selling and how perfectly timed it was. The Tel Aviv Exchange is downplaying this, saying there's nothing unusual in the trading patterns, but external experts and professors say, no, this is not normal. This is something we saw leading into 9/11, play cut 50.
Astonishing, no question, Peter. What many Wall Street analysts believe is that the terrorists made bets that a number of stocks would see their prices fall. They did so by buying what are called puts. If you bet right, the rewards can be huge. The risks are also huge, unless, of course, you know something bad is going to happen to the company you're betting against.
One example, United Airlines. The Thursday before the attack, more than 2,000 contracts betting that the stock would go down were purchased. 90 times more in one day than in 3 weeks.
$180,000 turns into $2.4 million when that plane hits the World Trade Center.
Now, they're saying that there's no way that they can find out who did this. Charles Whitehead, a professor at Cornell, said clearly there was something troubling some large investors. Whitehead noted that there's a long history of sophisticated investors trading based on, quote, anticipated future catastrophic events, but I thought this was a surprise attack. Well, on one side, it wasn't a surprise attack. Obviously, on the Hamas side, they had this completely planned. But a question I have is that if the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange saw unusual activity, did they then flag it for the Israeli military? We know that the Israeli military had the attack plan ahead of time, Jericho Wall. We know that they did nothing the night before when they heard that there was looming activity on the border. We know that it took 20 hours for the Israeli military, the IDF, to scramble to go help their fellow citizens. We know, according to Yoram Hazony, that there was not significant Air Force activity while this was occurring on Shabbat, the Yom Kippur War. And now we know that there was an unusual amount of short-selling activity that was occurring, and we don't know who did it. We may never find out who did it. Usually, algorithms pick up unusual trading patterns, a big spike. Did the Israeli government also get whisper that there was unusual trading activity short in the Israeli stock market? We may never know, but we will ask those questions. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. Straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.